Welcome to the October 4th virtual service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service is led by our minister, Reverend Pam Phillips, and worship associate, Ellen Plummer. The title of Rev. Pam's homily is Learning to Listen.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley, where we share a mission to inspire, create, and transform. I'm Ellen Plummer, and it's my delight to weave worship with Rev. Pam today. If you are with us for the first time, we're really glad you found us, and you'll find a link into a virtual visitor's card in the chat. Please fill out that card in our chat if you would like us to keep in touch with you. We invite everyone to stay after the service for our virtual coffee hour. We'll go into breakout rooms for a chance to meet in smaller groups and say hello and have conversation. There are many, many, many opportunities to meet virtually or on the grounds throughout the week. Look at the calendar on our website for times and for Zoom links. And thanks to all of the volunteers who make our services and all of our activities possible. If you have a joy or a sorrow you would like shared aloud this morning, you'll find the link for that in the chat as well. Pam, I believe you have some announcements this morning.
Yes, I would like to lift up a few announcements. The first is that this afternoon we are having our spiritual aging group that meets at 3 o'clock on the first Sunday. And tomorrow night, there's an opportunity for people to just gather socially at 7 o'clock, also on a Zoom link. We're calling it Monday Meetup. I also want to call your attention to our auction night extravaganza. We are continuing to have our online auction, and I know that there's a beautiful worship basket that just got added to it. So I invite you to go to the website and check out all the wonderful offerings. But I also want to encourage everyone to think about participating in our extravaganza. UUC's Got Talent. We need your talent. We need your songs, your jokes, your stories, your juggling, your magic acts. Magic acts might be particularly easy to do on video. So even if you're not sure that you are all that talented, but you know that you have something, a gift to share with your congregation, I encourage you to get in touch with Irene Peterson. Technical assistance is available upon request. I have to tell you, Jamie and I went to a talent show with Virginia Organizing, and somebody actually did a cooking session. I can't even remember what he was cooking, but it was entertaining. So think about what gifts you might be able to share with the congregation. We want to make this a night of fun, as well as a night of fundraising. So now I'd like to invite Karen Hager, our Director of Lifespan Faith Development, to come up to the podium and share with us some news about our religious education program. Karen?
Hi, everybody. I want to take some time this morning to tell you how this year's It's Scary to Be Hungry will be working. This is an annual social action project that religious education does every year. And it addresses the real world, very scary issue of hunger and food insecurity. So It's Scary to Be Hungry is a food donation drive for the Interfaith Food Pantry. And this year it will be held at UUC on Halloween, which is a Saturday from 2 to 4. And it will be a drive-by donation. So you can just drive through and donate the items for the food pantry. Because we know it's Halloween, and we also know that some of our kids are not getting the kind of Halloween fun they normally get, and let's face it, we adults aren't getting the fun of watching the kids in costume, we have added another element to that, and that is that families, and when I say families, I mean all types, all sizes, if you would like to be costumed greeters, you can sign up. come on out. We will give you a designated socially distanced space and you can show off your costumes and wave at people as they come in and greet folks as they come to donate food. And if you'd like to volunteer for this event, but you don't want to be a costume greeter, we have lots of other stuff we need people to do, including setting up and cleaning up at the end and taking food donations and handing out goodie bags, because what is Halloween without a few goodies? So every kid that comes will get a goodie bag from RE. It is Halloween 2 to 4, but in the event that you can't donate food on that day during that time, there are bins that are available at both entrances of UUC, so come drop the food off anytime you're able to. And we hope that you really will support this generously, because the food pantry really needs our help this year in particular. And so I'd like to finish by just telling you very briefly what the kids did last week in RE. So in preschool, our kids read the book, There Was an Old Woman Who Swallowed Some Leaves, and made leaf pictures, or they finished up their buses from last week's Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus, and folks, never, never, never let a pigeon drive the bus. It's not a good idea. And in the K through 5 class, the kids watched the Pixar short La Luna and made string art. And finally, we had our, we had our supply bags delivered this week. And one of the really lovely things, Rachel and I deliver these bags, and we sometimes get to actually see the kids when we drop them off. They are so excited to get their project bags and find out what's in store for them for the month. And this one I think was particularly fun because there's a pumpkin in it. So it has to be fun if there's a pumpkin in it. So I hope you all have a good week. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Thanks, Karen.
A ritual and a tradition in our community is to kindle the flame of community. And if you have a candle or a chalice or something bright and shiny at home, I invite you now to grab it and light it. And this morning we have Kendra McAllister. No, we have Vesper McAllister. And she's going to light our chalice for us this morning while we say our words. We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of wonderful.
Thank you, Vesper. And Jamie will light our chalice in the sanctuary.
Our opening words this morning are a reminder and an invitation to listen. Our theme, our worship theme this month is, what would it be for us to be a people of deep, deep listening? So I invite you to think about today's service as we go through our service today. Think about the various ways that you can listen and hear familiar words anew and new words as well. The whisper of our souls. Come, let us listen with new ears. Do you hear it? That voice. So familiar, yet so far. Less a longing and more a knowing. A whisper of something inside that seems to have known us longer than we've known it. Come, let us listen together. In the spirit of reminding us how to listen with new ears, we are inviting various of us, and we hope all of us, to join us in reading our congregational covenant each Sunday. If you have any interest in helping us out, reading our congregational covenant so that we hear each other's voices and learn to listen with new ears. Please send Alyssa Short a note and let her know that you're interested. So this morning, we are welcoming Jane Mahone to read our congregational covenant. And I remind you, listen.
We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness, and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement to inspire, create, and transform, and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions.
Jane, thank you so much. Each week, our congregation donates half of our offering to a local charity or Unitarian Universalist affiliated organization. And this week, we are pleased to be sharing our plate with the NAMI NRV. And Rev Pam, did you want to say a few words about NAMI?
Well, the National Alliance of Mental Illness is obviously a national organization. Our local affiliate of the New River Valley grew out of this congregation's mental health justice ministry. And so it's especially important that we support their work. And next week on October 10th, they will be having a virtual fundraising walk called NAMI Walks, a National Day of Hope. And so this morning, we invite you to be as generous as you can be. We all know that this is a time when many, many folks are struggling with mental illness. So anything we can do to help support those who are suffering through this time through our local affiliate of NAMI would be most appreciated. And you can give in all the ways that we've been giving. On the screen, you'll see the different ways that we make it easier for you to contribute to the work of this congregation and to those that we share our plate with. But we want to get back into the practice of accepting that offering. So Ellen, will you please lead us in these words?
Happy to. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and of our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end.
Amen. And as I often say, we continue this time of sharing. We share our financial resources, but we also share our lives. And this morning, I would like to lift up these joys and sorrows that people have sent in. I also want to lift up a sorrow that is a continuing sorrow, that people continue to contract the coronavirus. Let us hold in our hearts all those who have contracted the disease. Let us hold in our hearts all those who are struggling to heal and recuperate. Let us hold in our hearts all around the nation and the world, they may find healing, that they may find hope. And now we have a practice of inviting those who would like to have a candle lit, a candle of hope and remembrance. So please, if you would like a candle lit here in the sanctuary, write it in the chat, and Jamie will light a candle for you. Please light a candle, one more candle, for all those joys and sorrows, for the hope and remembrance that lives in the sanctuary of our hearts. Lots of light, lots of love. Now invite you into a time of meditation, a time of prayer. Please settle in however it feels best to you. Take a deep breath. Feel yourself grounded wherever you are sitting. And enter into the spirit of prayer. Spirit of life, spirit of love, be with us in these times. Times when voices of anger and anxiety, of fear and frustration, hostility and hatred threaten to overwhelm us. Help us to quiet those voices of cynicism and distrust, especially when those voices are our own. Help us to quiet our minds and find solace in moments of stillness, moments of silence, so that we may hear the whispers. Whispers of our shared hopes. Whispers of our shared dreams. Whispers of our shared humanity. Spirit of life, spirit of love, be with us in these times. Hold us in our pain. Hold us in our dis-ease, so that we may hold one another. Amen, and blessed be.
We have some words written by Rebecca Parker. There is a quality of listening that is possible among a circle of human beings who, by their attentiveness to one another, create a space in which each person is able to give voice to the truth of their life. There is the miracle of authentic narrative made possible by listening that holds still long enough to let our truth be told.
Listening that holds still. Listening that holds still. That is such an evocative way to describe our theme this month. Deep listening. Can you all see me? Okay, I can't see myself. I'm guessing most of us think we are pretty proficient listeners already. We learn how to live in the world by listening. Our relationships require us to listen. Our education requires us to listen. Our work requires us to listen. Some of us are even professional listeners. As Ellen and I prepared for today, we talked about how many members of this community depend on listening to do our jobs. We're already good listeners, so what could we possibly explore for a whole month? But deep listening is different from how we listen day to day. Think about why we listen. We listen to gain information. We listen to understand. We listen to participate in conversation. Now, think about the last time you were in a conversation. Most often, as we listen to each other, our minds are engaged in a myriad of activities. We're thinking about what is being said, analyzing and comparing what we know or think we know, judging whether we agree or not, formulating our responses. But we are also filtering what is being said through our emotions, our personal histories, our politics, our theologies. What happened to us this morning? When I think of it, what we hear when we listen to another has as much or more to do with us than with them. Deep listening. Listening that holds still long enough to let our truth be told. That kind of listening demands different skills, a different attentiveness, a different intention. Deep listening creates a space in which each person is able to give voice to the truth of his or her life. Deep listening can indeed be miraculous. Now, some of you have already learned about this kind of listening. The Conversations on Faith group has been reading A Hidden Wholeness by Quaker teacher and author Parker Palmer, which describes circles of trust. And many of us are practicing deep listening in our Soul Matters small groups, which are grounded in Palmer's work. Now, in these circles and groups, we follow a practice of listening with intention, to hear without the kind of analysis and filtering we use in other parts of our lives. We slow down our minds so that we can really hear what is being said, not to see if we agree, but just to take it in. We try to silence our inner critics and our helpers so that we can really hear what is being said, not so we can argue or give advice, but just to offer witness to their words. Deep listening focuses our attention as completely as possible on the speaker. It's all about them, not about us. Deep listening requires us to let go of our need to control the narrative, to move past our ego, and to be fully present. Those of you who have been in a covenant group or Soul Matters small group know what it's like to practice deep listening. You know how hard it can be to follow the guidelines. No crosstalk, no fixing, no saving, no advising, no setting each other straight. But you may also know how it feels to be truly and really heard. To be in a space where you are able to give voice to the truth of your life. A space that makes possible the miracle of authentic narrative. For some, a sacred space. And speaking into such a space can help us hear our own truth, sometimes for the very first time. I think of the words of that beautiful meditation song. I'm listening. I am listening. Spirit, speak to me. My ears are wide open. My eyes are now open to see what I may be. Deep listening, with ears wide open, with eyes wide open, with hearts wide open, can be transformational. And you don't have to belong to a special circle of trust or small group to practice deep listening. You can practice it with the people in your life. Heather Plett, the author and co-founder of the Center for Holding Space, writes in a blog about learning to listen differently to each of her three daughters, one introvert, one extrovert, and one who is very private and uses humor. She's learned that with one, she has to be patient. Another, to be careful not to make assumptions. And with a third, to listen to very subtle cues. And while she's learned to pay attention to each of them differently, she admits, I don't always get it right. In fact, a lot of times I don't. There are a surprising number of things that get in the way of good listening. She says, sometimes there are too many distractions. Sometimes I'm tired. Sometimes they've hurt my feelings and I'm resentful. And sometimes I just want them to be more like me so I don't have to work so hard to figure them out. Think about the people in your life, the ones you care about most deeply. Do you know how best to listen to them? Do you sometimes let distractions or tiredness or hurt feelings get in the way of really hearing what they have to say? What might you hear if you intentionally put away the filters of your own assumptions, beliefs, and judgments? And what might they hear from themselves? Bless you. In a survey of Facebook friends, Plett asked how people knew if someone was really listening to them. And one responded, ultimately, a good listener allows the person they are listening to hear themselves. Plett explains, when we as listeners interject too much of ourselves in the act of listening, questions, interruptions, too much body language, we can pull the person away from the depth and open-heartedness of their own story. In the month ahead, consider listening with open ears, open eyes, and an open heart to the people you love. But what about the other people in our lives? It is no accident that Unitarian Universalists who use Soul Matters themes chose deep listening for October of this year. When we find ourselves in a deeply polarized political season, if you have avoided getting into a deeply unsatisfying interaction with someone who has different political beliefs than you, whether in person or on social media, congratulations, you must be living right. Or you might be living in a bubble with others with whom you agree. What might happen if you practice listening deeply to someone with whom you disagree? Now, I'm not suggesting that you go find your polar political opposite, but for the past year, we've introduced one of the spiritual exercises from our Soul Matters small group packets each month, so everyone has the opportunity to engage more deeply in the themes. This month, there are several exercises that are really intriguing sounding, but they depend on the resources within the packet. So I want to draw your attention to one of the questions participants can choose to walk with. Not necessarily to answer, but to reflect on for the month. Instead of arguing with them, what if next time you asked, will you tell me your story? I'd love to know how you came to that point of view. The question was inspired by an article written by Benjamin Mathis entitled, How to Listen When You Disagree, a lesson from the Republican National Convention. He describes his experience sitting at a free listening table set up at the convention. This was back in Cleveland, I think, where he encountered a person who stated a belief directly opposite to his own. Instead of arguing, he asked her that question. Will you tell me your story? I'd love to know how you came to this point of view. What followed was a poignant and painful story of loss. A story that broke his heart. It didn't change his mind, nor hers. Yet it was transformational. He describes the end of their interaction this way, saying, sometimes there's nothing to disagree with. I didn't need to be right. I just needed to be there. She wiped away a few tears, gave me a hug, and thanked me for listening. She exhaled and walked back into the RNC free speech circus. Maybe one day she'll hear my story, but today it was my turn to hear hers. He ends, I hope she felt loved. During this time of intense political partisanship, I find it especially difficult to live into the first principle of Unitarian Universalism, to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person. I believe that inviting others to tell their story and then listening deeply can help us affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of everyone. Perhaps taking this piece of advice from Mathis would also help. We must work to hear the person, not just the opinion. Or as his friend, aptly named Agape, says it, hear the biography, not the ideology. In the month ahead, I invite you to walk with this question. Instead of arguing with them, what if next time you asked, will you tell me your story? I'd love to know how you came to this point of view. And maybe even be on the lookout for just such a situation. It doesn't have to be one of a deeply divisive political issue. You might start with something less fraught. Puppies versus kittens. Mexican food or Italian. Cavaliers or Hokies. And then move to topics closer to your heart. The next time you feel the urge to argue, instead listen. Let us practice listening that holds still long enough to let truth be told. Let us practice listening with open hearts. Invite you in the week ahead to go out in the world and listen. We extinguish our chalice, but not the light of truth, the fire of commitment, or the warmth of this community. We take those with us out into the world until we are together again. I invite you to listen to our postlude. And then afterwards, we'll have time for coffee and conversation.